Well, over 100 volunteers, mostly Coast Guard members and family, gathered early yesterday morning at the communication station in Kodiak. They were there to help the FBI to search for evidence related to the murders of Petty Officer First Class James Hopkins and retired Chief Petty Officer Richard Belisle. The two men were found dead April 12th by co-workers at the communication station in Kodiak. The volunteers were split into groups of 20 and then dispatched to various sections of Anton Larson Bay Road, beginning at the communication station and going all the way out to the main road, Rezanoff Drive West. They were instructed to comb both sides of the road 15 to 20 feet out and to watch for a gun or pieces of a gun, clothing, boots, plastic bags, or anything else that looked out of place. Nearly a dozen people showed up with metal detectors. The search ended just after 11 o'clock yesterday morning. A small group of volunteers headed over to Bell's Flats to search as well, but nothing was found in either area. A Juneau man is back in custody and facing more charges after trying to run away from the courthouse and officers yesterday afternoon. 23-year-old Talon Lobaugh was in handcuffs and wearing a standard orange inmate's jumpsuit when he escaped custody at the Diamond Courthouse. Judicial Services officers pursued him. His break at freedom barely lasted about 15 minutes. He apparently didn't get very far either. Four Juneau police officers joined in the search and helped apprehend Lobaugh on a Main Street hillside near the state office building. Lobaugh was initially arrested Tuesday night after an off-duty state trooper spotted him walking on Mount Roberts Road. Lobaugh allegedly fled on foot when uniformed police officers arrived. That chase only lasted 9 minutes, according to officers. He was initially picked up on an outstanding warrant for failing to comply with conditions of probation stemming from 6 counts of forgery and 2 counts of theft. He has another charge of resisting arrest from the Tuesday evening chase. No word yet on specific charges related to yesterday's chase. A photograph of former Ketchikan Gateway Boroughmayor Jack Shea hanging in the assembly chambers in Ketchikan was stolen after he was sentenced on charges of possessing child pornography, and an aide to U.S. Senator Mark Begich is being blamed for the theft. The photo disappeared on Monday, the same day that Shea entered his guilty plea to 7 counts. Borough Clerk Casey Paxton says Bob Weinstein, a former city mayor who is now a Begich aide, admitted to taking the photo. The photo was returned Tuesday, but current Mayor Dave Kiefer on Wednesday ordered the photo removed until the assembly can decide its fate. Weinstein did not have an immediate comment. Begich's office says his employment will not be affected, but it does not condone his actions. The state of Alaska has given TransCanada Corporation permission to shift its attention to a natural gas pipeline that would be capable of overseas exports. TransCanada requested the project after the North Slope's major players announced they were aligning with the company to pursue an alternative liquefied natural gas project. TransCanada has an exclusive license with the state to pursue a line and had been focused mainly on a pipeline that would run through Canada, but the company had not announced any agreements with producers for it. TransCanada faced an October deadline to apply to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for a certificate to build and operate the pipeline, but the state has delayed it 2 years to 2014 to accommodate the change in focus and on projects. The U.S. Department of Energy says it was able to safely extract a steady stream of natural gas from methane hydrates this winter on the North Slope. The agency partnered with oil companies to test new technology to remove methane trapped in ice crystals beneath the seafloor. The federal government calls methane hydrates a vast, untapped resource with enormous potential. Chris Smith is Deputy Assistant Secretary for Oil and Natural Gas at the Energy Department, and Lori Thompson of APRN asked him to describe methane hydrates.
If you had a chunk of methane hydrate and you're holding in your hand, it would look like a chunk of cloudy ice. But at ambient conditions, you know, here at atmospheric pressure, at room temperature, it would dissociate, so you would get water running off your hand, and then you'd get methane, the natural gas that's coming off of the chunk of hydrate. You could actually light the ice on fire. So what we are interested in is the fact that you can find this methane hydrate trapped in the pore space, just like you find oil or natural gas, and you find it in Alaska, you find it in the deep water Gulf of Mexico. Anywhere where you get the appropriate combination of low temperatures and high pressures and H2O and methane, you can find occurrences of a methane hydrate. And what we're looking at doing is, you know, how do we develop the right technology so that we can access this enormous potential source of energy and turn it into an option for American consumers.
Why is Alaska a good place to test methane hydrate extraction?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. Yeah, first of all, you find hydrate in great quantities in Alaska. So you know where it is. You can access it. But you can also do the experiments. You can do the tests onshore as opposed to doing them at great cost in deep water. And there is a great amount of infrastructure and technical capability and the equipment and the people and the resources that you need. So Alaska is actually an ideal national laboratory for doing this type of scientific innovation.
And you've been conducting some research and tests this winter. What did you find here?
Yeah, we drilled the well last winter, and this winter we conducted the tests for which the well was drilled. We did a couple things. First, we're looking at different areas for solutions for sequestration or storage of CO2. CO2 that you get out of power plants and other sources, if you can capture that and then store it in the earth, then through carbon capture sequestration, then you're reducing the amount of greenhouse gases that you're emitting into the environment. One special thing about methane hydrate is that we understand through our laboratory experiments and through our computer modeling is that if you can inject CO2 into a methane hydrate formation, the hydrate formation will preferentially release the methane molecule and will absorb the CO2 molecule. So you can put CO2 down and then pull out methane that you can use as an energy source. So the first part of our test was to test that concept, to take CO2, inject it at pressure into the formation, and trap that CO2 there. And then the second part of the experiment was to lower the pressure of the wellbore and allow the methane to flow. So those were the experiments that we conducted this winter. We've just concluded that. We're just in the process of plugging that well.
Chris Smith is Deputy Assistant Secretary for Oil and Natural Gas at the Energy Department. The department is launching a new research effort to conduct a long-term production test in Alaska. A humpback whale calf has apparently been able to shed fishing gear that ensnared it. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the calf and its mother were first spotted Tuesday near Admiralty Island's Young Bay, trailing an orange buoy. The calf was entangled, and biologists tagged the fishing gear to track the whales. Data showed the whale traveled about 50 nautical miles overnight, but wound up near where it was tagged. Biologists only found the tag and fishing gear yesterday morning. They say the calf worked its way out of the net, and the pair of humpbacks moved off. Besides the buoy, officials found about 300 feet of fishing line, which appeared to be personal crab pot gear. And Japanese media say a Harley-Davidson motorcycle lost in last year's tsunami has washed up on a Canadian island about 4,000 miles away. The rusted bike was found in a large white container where its owner, Ikuo Yokoyama, had kept it. It was located through the license plate number. Yokoyama told Nippon TV that it is unmistakably his after shown photos of it. He says it's miraculous. The styrofoam-lined container, also containing golf clubs and camping gear, washed ashore on British Columbia's Graham Island. The 29-year-old Yokoyama lost three members of his family in the tsunami in March of last year, and he's now living in temporary housing. Canadian Peter Mark found the large white container while riding his ATV along the beach. He told Fuji TV that he couldn't believe that something like that would make it across the Pacific. NHK reports that Harley-Davidson has offered to restore the bike before shipping it back to Yokoyama.